Welcome to Hope Unveiled, the podcast that guides you on a transformative journey toward a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. We are Sunrise Church of Surrey, British Columbia, Canada, and our mission is to carry the hope and purpose of Jesus to those who may feel far from God. In each episode, we'll dive deep into the teachings of Jesus, offering practical insights and guidance for your faith journey. Whether you're taking your first steps in faith or seeking to deepen your existing relationship with Christ, we invite you to join us on this journey to embrace the hope that transforms lives.
Welcome to the new year. How many are ready for the new year? It's here. How many are ready for it? Hands up. Like 30, 40, 50, 70% of you. Amazing. I was talking to Pastor Braden this morning. We mentioned that because our staff, we just start back kind of at the beginning of the year, that we've been like praying and working this week, and we're like ready to go. We are so into the new year. And then I remember that there's families with kids that aren't in school, and they're just still on like extended Christmas break, right? So it's like a different mentality we come with. But I love the fact that we had Prayer Worship Collective, Deeper Life, and Essen represented this morning, and just bringing us into worship. Can we just give it up one more time? They just led us so well. I'm Pastor Chris. I'm the lead pastor here. If I don't know you or haven't met you online, I'm Pastor Chris. And just shout out to Winnie. Winnie, where's Winnie? She made me this jacket a few years ago. People have been, there's Winnie right there. She made me this jacket, sent it all the way from Kenya. Just got to represent. So thank you, Winnie. You're awesome. And someone told me this morning, this jacket's fire. I agree. It's fire. And if you don't know what that means, ask the teenager beside you. We are in a new sermon series. For the next 4 weeks, we're talking about values. Say it with me. Values. Now, as we get in this sermon series, values are not just things that you hold as valuable. We hold the Word of God valuable, but it's not just things you hold valuable. It's actually the things that will affect our culture in our church, our practices, and our behaviors. So really, this sermon series, we're going to get deeper in to what we believe are the biblical core values that make up our church. That might be unique at our church, or it might be similar to others. But we really believe that they're the things that will shape our culture, shape our behavior. And really, this, our values will shape what is visible in our church. So because they're biblical and we hold them, they will shape what is visible in our church. So the things you see, the things we practice, the things we talk about, the things that are visible to people, you will see these through the values. Now, I want to talk about this very first value. And the very first value we're talking about is living expectantly in faith and generosity. Say that with me. Living expectantly in faith and generosity. Now, the one thing about core values, when you talk about them as an organization or a church, in this particular, we're talking about a church, a core value really needs to be seen as something that was there from the beginning, all through the existence, and will be there in the future. And when I think about living expectantly in faith and generosity, I think these are things that have been in our history and are in our present, and I pray will be in our future. Now, you know, when we expect things, we live with a certain level of confidence when you expect something, right? Okay, so how many of you have ever ordered from Amazon? This is not a promotion for Amazon, but when you order for Amazon and they say delivery date, that thing is going to come by 10 p.m. that day. There's a certain expectancy you have, right, Dan? That's exactly when you ordered your last CD. No, or cassette, 8-track. When you ordered your last album. That's when you order something, there's a certain expectancy you have. Now, there's another thing that has ruined our level of expectancy, or maybe has enhanced your level of expectancy. How many have ever ordered from Skip the Dishes or Uber Eats? Come on, be honest. It can wreck your life, because what do? You just look at your phone and you went, they're here. No, what? He's going a different way. No, not A Avenue. I believe on B Avenue. Come. And it can just, either it enhances your expectancy or it totally ruins that. How many people have a job? Hands up. How many people need a job? Okay, Lord Jesus, we ask for provision of jobs in your name. You own the cattle on 1,000 hills. Psalm 24 says the earth is Lord's and everything therein. So we pray for jobs for people in Jesus' name. Would they come? In Jesus' name. Now, when you get a job, you have a thing called a payday. And you expect that the money comes on your payday. When we have expectancy, it starts to build a level of confidence in our life. Now, we are in the season of winter in Vancouver, and winter in Vancouver, we expect two things: gray skies and rain. That's it. If you live other places, you expect snow. Thank God, God did some miracle over the prairies. They haven't had as much snow. They're just rejoicing in it. Now, if you have young children, what should you expect? Chaos. You don't even have young children. You're sitting beside your mom, though, and she's nodding. You expect sleepless nights. That's what you expect. You expect children to come in and kick you and sleep on you and put their head on your head, and you're supposed to expect it's comfortable. This is what you expect. Grandparents, when you have little grands in your life, what do you expect? You expect to give them back. Come on now, I know you grandparents. I know it's like you love them, but you're like, thank you very much. Now you can go back and I almost won't chill. See, there's something about expectancy and living expectantly that will build something in our life for the good or for the bad. Let's turn over to the book of Hebrews in chapter 11. Now, if you're unfamiliar with the Bible is what we read from as our sacred text. We believe it's authoritative for all things to do with Christian conduct and matters of faith. In fact, we find that it is actually infallible and authoritative in everything it affirms. It's split into two parts, the Old Testament dealing with the history of the people of Israel, prophetic writings and the covenants, and the New Testament, which deals with Jesus's life and the early church. We're going to read from a book called Hebrews, which was written to a number of people in the first century. Chapter 11, verse 1. We're going to read one verse today. It says this. Now faith, say that word with me, faith. Come on, say it loud. Say it like you believe it. All right. Is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. I'll read it one more time. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Some other versions use the term confidence. They use the term substance of things unseen. Other places in the Bible, that word, upostis, is in Acts 17:31, where it says, Jesus was appointed to be the judge, and we have an assurance by the fact that he was raised from the dead. It says in Hebrews 10:22 that we can draw near to God with assurance, so that we're assured, we have confidence in these very things, a true heart, in full assurance, we can come near to God. There's something about assurance, there's something about confidence, there's something about conviction of things that we hope for and things we do not see. This is where we want to talk about living expectantly in faith. Now, when you think about faith, faith can grow. The level of your faith can grow. As well, you can level up your faith. You can see it grow from one place, one level to the next. And then you can even be at a place where your faith is growing and you literally expect God to do that very thing or move in that very way. Are you with me today? Have you ever thought you've had little faith, like tiny, tiny, tiny faith? Been in a place where you're just not sure and it's like, I don't really have enough faith for that. Like literally, I don't even have enough faith for the next day. If you've been there, that's an okay place to be. That's where the disciples found themselves. In the book of Matthew, Jesus says to them, "Oh, you of little faith," Matthew 6. And he's talking about faith, and he says, you've seen the 5,000 people get fed. You've seen the 4,000 people get fed, but yet you don't have faith. They're asking about bread. And then later, in another gospel account of Jesus and his followers in the book of Luke, chapter 17, in the midst of Jesus teaching and doing a number of different miracles, and in the midst of him giving instruction, they come to Jesus and they say, increase our faith. Have you ever prayed that prayer? Lord, increase my faith. I feel like it's tiny, tiny. Lord, increase my faith. Now, I want to ask you, what kind of level of faith do you have today? Jonathan, would you come up? I didn't prepare you for this one. I didn't prepare you for anything, really. But where's your level of faith today? I want to ask you, is your level of faith chair level faith or prayer level faith? Jonathan, can you sit down? Margie's like, oh no. Oh no. Do you have chair level faith or prayer level faith? Now, you all exerted some level of faith right now because you sat on a chair and you didn't know whether it would hold you, but you sat on it. That's what I call passive faith, meaning you just did the thing they expect to do. Passive faith is like when you get in your car and you hit that start button, you turn that key over, You have a passive level of faith that thing is going to start. Okay? Chair level, everyone has, but it's passive. Prayer level faith is different. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 20, it says that my God can do exceedingly abundantly more than I ask or imagine. Are you with me? Yeah. Jonathan, do you have a big imagination? Yes. He does have a big imagination. Have you ever asked for things from God?
Yes.
Do you want prayer level faith or chair level faith?
Prayer level.
Prayer level. Excellent. Excellent. That's a good answer. Prayer level faith is different because prayer level faith is not just passive. You sit with little expectation. Prayer level faith actually comes to the place where you ask big and you ask bold, knowing that it says this in Scripture, that through the power at work within us, He can do more than we ask or imagine. I'm thankful that it's not on the words of my prayer. How about you? Because if it's on the words of my prayer, I got to pray pretty, I got to pray powerful, but it's not. It says it's at the power that is at work within us. That's the same power that other Scripture said, raised Him from the dead. Where's your level of faith at? This morning you exerted passive faith. Church, I want you to exert prayer level faith. That you pray in accordance with Ephesians 3:20. Let's thank Jonathan for being up here. Could you put that back for me, please, too? He's going to come up in just a second, too. John, you can come back to stage. Where's Pastor Coach Boyko? Pastor Coach Boyko, would you come up to stage, too, as well? Welcome, Pastor Coach Boyko, as he comes. Now, another way to think of faith, I want you to have prayer level faith. Another way to think of faith is like a muscle. Faith is like a muscle. Faith gets worked out when you work it out. Now, Coach, is it true that when we work out our muscles, it actually, there is like kind of micro tears, small tears that help build the muscles, and then the proteins go in there. So when we're actually exerting, and when there's, lactic acid? Okay, it builds up, that helps build our muscles, right?
Partially true.
That's
true. Mostly true.
Mostly true. That's good enough for the illustration. So faith comes, and faith grows when you work it out. Push-up challenge. All right. Come on, boys, down. We'll start with five. We're going to start with five, okay? Jonathan, Chris, who's cheering for Jonathan? Head to head. Head to head. Oh, out to the crowd. Okay, out to the crowd. Who's cheering for Pastor Boyko?
On our knees?
No knees. No knees.
Oh, wait.
Now, if you don't know... This guy's like a high-level soccer player. This guy's a personal trainer and was the former fitness and strength conditioning coach for the Lions, okay? He needs way more help. Yeah. Okay, come on, boys, down, let's see it. Let's start with five, okay? Come on. Cheer him on. Okay. Go. One. Okay, come on. Okay. Okay, get back down. Go on, one more time. I want to feel the burn. Just give us five as fast as you can. Go. Whoa. Okay, round of applause. Can you feel the burn yet?
A little bit.
No, you can't? You can't feel the burn? Oh, you can't? You can't feel that?
Yes.
Faith is like a muscle that gets worked when you use it. Faith grows like a muscle when you use it. Give these guys a round of applause. Now, in the parking lot after service, they're really going to go for it, okay? My money's on Pastor Lynette, actually. She's going to... That's right. If you don't use faith, it goes to atrophy like your muscles. If you don't use it and exert it, it starts to kind of dissipate a bit. Why? Because you're not practicing it. And practice always makes progress in our life. When we don't have prayer-level faith, we settle for a passive chair-level faith. We don't exert the power of prayer to meet the needs that God has before us. Now, I tell you this, in prayer, there's always unmet expectations. But the interesting thing I find is we treat God a little different. We treat God different than we do Amazon, WestJet, restaurants, friends. Here's what happens. When you pray and God doesn't answer, a lot of times we have this attitude. That's it, God. I'm done. I'm not ever praying again. You didn't answer me. And we come to him with not expectancy, we come to him with entitlement. It's different. But then, when Amazon misses your delivery date, you might lodge a complaint, but I guarantee you, you will order again, because I hear your stories. You will order again. You treat Amazon different than you treat God. Now, has anyone ever flown WestJet before? Come on now. You Air Canada employees, you get paid well. Okay, just joking. Have you ever had a late or delayed flight? Lost your luggage? And have you ever said, fine, I'm never flying ever again. I'm going to drive to New Brunswick. These guys flew because you don't drive to Saskatchewan at this time of year. You just, that's crazy. That takes faith, not chair level, prayer level faith. But when your flight is late or you lose your luggage, you will still fly again. You do it. But we treat God different than we treat Amazon, WestJet. How many times have you driven in Surrey or Langley or down Highway Number 1 and someone cut you off or did something rude? You never said, I am never driving again. I'm surrendering my license today. Some of you probably shouldn't do that, let's be honest, okay? You know, most people don't do that, but we do it with God. We're like, God, I prayed for a job and you didn't bring me the job I wanted. And the difference is we come usually with entitlement versus expectancy. Entitlement says, I need to get it because I should have it. Expectancy is knowing God can do it because he is God. It's different. But church, I think we need to be challenged. Do we have more faith in Jeff Bezos and his system? Or do we have more faith in God? Hello, are you with me? Do I have more faith in a delivery system that's going to come before 10 p.m.? Or do we have more faith in God? Let me ask you this. Who is more faithful? Who is eternal? Who is the Savior, the Sustainer, the Creator? Who is from everlasting to everlasting? It's God. He deserves all the faith to be put in him. And all of the expectancy to be put in him. The first thing I want to tell you, if you're going to live expectantly in faith and generosity, you need to surrender your unmet expectations to him. That's the only place they belong. Because if you allow them to get in your heart and say, oh, God, you didn't. You'll get frustrated. And you'll stop praying. You'll stop asking. We have to surrender our unmet expectations to him. Now, let me tell you this, church, there was teachings for a number of years that, you know, if you just have faith and you name that thing, you can claim that thing, okay? The only problem with that theology is it removes God from the equation. Because whatever you think you need, you pray it, you claim it, you name it, it's there, okay? Faith is an ingredient in prayer and healing, but it's not the sole ingredient. People say, I've heard this before, well, you didn't have enough faith to be healed. That is garbage theology. Let me ask you this question. How much faith did Lazarus have? Hello? He dead! How much faith did Dorcas have? She's dead! Faith is an ingredient, but it's not the sole determiner. The sole determiner is Jesus, the risen one. And that's why it's called faith, because we're putting our confidence and our assurance in something we don't know or can't see. We're putting it in him. We're developing a growing faith. Faith is an ingredient. Number two thing about living expectantly in faith and generosity. We can profess in faith, but God actually wants us to practice faith in expectancy. He wants you to practice faith in expectancy. Here's the difference. When someone says, I'm going through something. I've got a problem, you know, I've got a disease or whatever. Sometimes we do this. Oh, thank you. I'll be praying for you. You walk away. You never pray for the person. Come on, let's be honest. That's usually what it's like, right? Okay, there's a couple all-stars out there that probably are the super prayer people. But let's be honest. When someone says, I got a need, like, oh, I'll pray for you. And then you walk away. It happens. Let's be honest, okay? Other times, when someone says, I got a disease, I got a sickness, da, 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 you just say something like, well, God is our healer. God's our healer. And you parrot these things versus this. That's professing in faith. It's all true. I will pray for you and God's right. It's all true. But practicing in faith and expectancy is, let's pray now. Let's pray now. Even if someone texts you a message, text them a prayer back. Put a voice memo on it. I'm praying for you now. Not tomorrow. Not going to forget. Not going to add this. Pray for them now. That's actually praying in expectancy. That's taking your faith level up from chair to prayer. That's working the faith muscle. And when you pray for them, sometimes we pray these, like, I don't know what you want to call them, like wussy prayers. I don't know. But we pray this prayer. Lord, if it be your will, if Lord, it's ever in your plan, would you please heal my brother Jimmy? Would you please heal him? Okay, let me tell you this. His covenant name in the Old Testament was Healer. Hello? If his name was Healer, do you think healing is in his will? Yes. And there's not a scripture that tells us to stop ever pray for healing. I can't find it. It's not there. The only unique circumstance I can see is when Jeremiah in the Old Testament is told to stop praying for the people of Israel because they're too hard-headed. That's the only thing I can find. But other than that, we're told to pray. So when you pray for someone, just declare in faith that Jesus is the healer over their body. One of my favorite prayers that was given to me by my friend who ministers up in the Northwest Territory is, Jesus, exercise your authority over sickness. Jesus, exercise your authority over sickness. You can, authority over blank, put in whatever you want. Jesus, exercise your authority over sickness. That's what I love to pray. Why? Because now I'm practicing in faith when I'm praying with someone right there. Boom, boom. There was two family situations in the last couple of weeks that I was asked to pray for. One was a situation where there was some estrangement. The other was a situation where there was some tension. And both of those situations, the one with estrangement, one of the people came to me and they showed me a text from the person that they've been estranged from for years. And they said, I'm willing to talk and reconcile. Come on, that's God. I prayed with expectation. And I just prayed, Lord, would you come and just bring your peace in the situation? Lord, would you bring your revelation? No, I pray this. Lord, could this Christmas be the time for a miracle? More than I ask or imagine. In the other situation, Lord, would you work out the tensions in that family? Got a message? Hey, we're all together. It's good. It's good. It's happening. There's something good happening. That is praying with expectation. Here, let me tell you about the centurion. Who's the centurion? The centurion in Matthew 8 was a person who worked for the Romans. He was a soldier. And in the book of Matthew 8, he said, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home. And he said to him, I will come and heal him. Jesus, I will come and heal him. But the centurion replied, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word and my servant will be healed. Oh, wow. He says, for I'm a man under authority. I tell one, I say go, and he goes. I say come, and he comes. When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. At the end of this portion of scripture, Jesus said, go, let it be done as you have believed, and your servant was healed at this very moment. Man, the centurion had more faith than all those in Israel. Why? Because he understood that just at the word of Jesus, healing could happen. Just at the word. What I love hearing is when people get healed just in the presence of God. No one prayed for them. No one laid hands on them. All of a sudden, they came here, they worshiped, and something got healed in their body. That's what I love. That's faith, because God's a healer. Amen? We need to have a dose of the centurion in our life. We need to have a dose of that. Let me tell you about living expectantly in faith. In 1989, 18 families, 50% kids, 50% adults, 18 families left from People's Church to come found this church that you're worshiping in now. By my count, I still think there's 6 of those original couples that are here with us today. I think there's probably 4 that are in the congregation right now. That's faith. To come to a place that doesn't have a church, an area where there's no church. That is living expectantly in faith, believing that God can do something even when there's nothing there. The same people as the church grew believed that God would give them a property and a building. They started with $50,000 in the bank. They built this building we now worship in, and at the end of it, they had $50,000 in the bank and no debt. Come on. That is living expectantly in faith. The reason why we invite people to pray over you at the end of services is because we believe expectantly in faith that God can move when prayers are prayed. We believe that on January 28th, we're going to have a worship and healing night. We have expectancy already that God is going to move upon bodies and minds and hearts that night. That's why we have a worship and healing night. Why? Because we expect that God is a healer. Hey, it's one thing to hold a value. It's another thing to practice a value. It's one thing to hold and say, yeah, we believe in healing. It's another thing to practice it and pray like you believe in healing. It's one thing to hold the value that the Bible is authoritative. It's another thing to practice it and let it form your faith and character. See, we have a dream here, and I've loved seeing some of these things of the dream come. That when Pastor Sherry and I felt compelled to come here, Isaiah 55:5 was a scripture that she prophetically heard over our church. Behold, a nation shall run to you. A nation that you do not know shall run to you because of the glory of the Holy One of Israel. And when we first arrived at the church, there was, other than people who were of European descent or white Anglo-Saxon persuasion, there was one other nation represented. And I think in the last count, there's 26 other nations represented. 26. It's good. We want to believe and dream in expectancy this will be a church of all nations. We want to believe in expectancy that there will be a supernatural move of God. We want to believe that people here in this body are seen, are valued, and are known. We want to believe that this is a sending and equipping church to send people out on mission. This is part of why we live expectantly in faith. The third thing I want to tell you about living expectantly in faith and generosity is that living expectantly in faith and generosity will align our life with His word and His promises. Not only do we need to surrender our unmet expectations to God, not only do we need to profess things, but practice our faith expectantly, we need to allow our hearts, minds, our soul to be aligned with His word and His promises. Guess what? Even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, He is with you. He is with you. Even when you felt like you've been alone, He never leaves you and He never forsakes you. Even if you're here today and you feel unloved, unworthy, not chosen, looked over, His word tells us this, that nothing separates us from His love. Church, when we hear these are the things that start to align our life with His word and His promises. This is what living expectantly in faith does. As you profess those things, you proclaim them in faith, it does something to our life. It starts to align our feelings with the very foundations of faith in Christ. Are you with me today? You might have felt alone, broken. You might have felt like the valley has been so deep that you can't get through it yourself. That's where we need God. That's where we put faith in God, because He is the one who carries us through the valleys. I asked you earlier, where's your prayer level? Chair or prayer level? Where's your faith level? Ephesians 3:20, as I quoted earlier. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all you ask or imagine. According to me, according to your prayer, according to you, no, according to the power at work within you. See, church, I believe this is that we need a faith renewal. We need a fresh faith injection. At the beginning of this year, we need to have our faith renewed. We need to have something new put into our life. We need to move from the place of passive chair-like faith to active prayer-like faith. We need to surrender those unmet expectations, those unfulfilled things to God, and not treat Him differently than we treat the world, to treat Him uniquely because He is the one who answers prayer. I'm going to call the worship team back up. The last thing I want to say is that we live expectantly in faith and generosity, not only when we believe He's working, not only when we're watching for Him working, but when we live expectantly in faith, our generosity starts to grow. And our generosity grows in a number of ways, not just even with our time, but the gifts and talents we have. We give them to Jesus. And then the treasures, our finances, our resources, we begin giving them to Jesus because we've seen what happens when we put faith in Him, that He is responding and answering those things. And it starts to grow our generosity. We invest more of our time. We invest more of our talents, our treasures. We invest more. Why? Because we're living expectantly in faith. You know, I hope this word will inspire you this year. When you contribute in an offering to this church, and as they kind of say every week, you're giving locally, nationally, and internationally, it goes into a region to support the works of the Cloverdale Community Kitchen and others. I want to tell you this, you're really not giving. You're actually investing. That is living expectantly. You're investing into the kingdom, and there is a result. You're investing into the kingdom, and something comes out of it. Now, church, I don't know where you're at today. You can start anytime. Maybe your mountain in front of you seems totally immovable. Maybe it seems too big for you. Maybe you look at it and you think, how could anything ever change? Maybe the circumstance that you find yourself in literally feels like it's crushing you right now. Maybe that's where you're at. And maybe the situation that you find yourself in right now literally feels like it's sucking the life right out of you and you have nothing left. Or maybe God's giving you a desire and a dream. A desire and a dream that is bigger than you can accomplish on your own. But he's saying, if you will put your faith in me, maybe you think you're kind of coming to the end of your effectiveness in God's kingdom in the church. No. Until you fully serve the purposes of your generation, that's when you're done. Maybe you have a mountain that's immovable. Maybe you have a dream and desire that is too big. It's so exciting, but it's bigger than you. I want to remind you this. Our God doesn't fail. Come on now, church. Our God doesn't fail. Remind yourself that one word from Him, one word can change everything. That one word changed creation. That the words of Jesus changed lives. Not only does our God not fail, but one word from Him changes everything. Church, your change in your life may be one prayer away as you put faith in Him. Today I heard the story, or this week I heard the story of someone who is 99 years old, a grandmother to someone in our congregation. That person had been prayed for a lot. The person had a measure of faith, but had not met Jesus, had not been born again, had not received Him as Lord and Savior. And at 99 years old, they encountered Jesus and surrendered their life to Him. You might be one prayer away from that thing. 6 months later, that person went to be with the Lord. 99 years of life, not following Jesus. But that family, they didn't give up praying. They didn't give up hoping. Even in the midst of what seemed like an impossible situation, God moved. Church, in this new year, as we start out, this first Sunday of 2024, I really believe we need a faith renewal. We need a fresh injection of faith into our lives. Why don't you stand with me? We need God to do only what He can. We might be people who have felt like we had little faith, and we feel Jesus would be saying to us, oh, you have little faith. Well, it's beautiful because, as I said, the disciples said, and would you increase our faith, Jesus? I know where you're at in your faith level. You might be comfortable in the chair, but I know that God wants to call us to a prayer level of faith. And today, for whatever circumstance you face, maybe the mountain that is insurmountable, maybe it's the dream that seems too big, and without divine provision, it's not going to happen. I want to ask you today, do you want a fresh injection of faith? Come on, someone say amen. Church, here's what I want you to do. If you want a fresh injection of faith, I want you to make a declaration by coming to the front of this room. Step forward even now, and we're going to pray for a fresh injection of faith. Come on even now. Come now. If you said amen, you said, I want a fresh injection, come on up. We're going to pray for you because we believe that God moves. And there's times when He calls us to take a step forward. Just come right up close, because there's others coming behind you. Come up right up close. Come to the wings as well. And church, let me say this as you come. This does not mean everything's perfect in your life. Not at all. It just means you're looking to the One who can put a fresh injection of faith into your life. I really sense there's people here today. You wondered why you even came. In the back of your mind, you're kind of, why am I even here? The Lord wants to inject fresh faith into you today. So Lord Jesus, let's just lift our hands up to him right now. Lord Jesus, we come and we ask for a fresh injection of faith into lives and into families in Jesus' name, that Lord, you are doing something that's powerful. And in Jesus' name, we pray that as you inject fresh faith, Father God, it will go into families and into children. Father God, that it will go into the generations, older and younger. We pray, Father God, there be a fresh renewal of faith. And Lord, as we stand here as a people of God before you today, we pray, Lord, that you are the author and the perfecter of our faith. We pray, Father God, there be a new level that would come, Father God, to be people of prayer level faith, because you can do more than we ask or imagine, Father God. Fill our lives afresh, Lord Jesus. Fill our lives afresh, Lord Jesus. Fill our lives afresh, Jesus. We thank you, Father. And Lord, we say you are the one, Jesus. You are the one, Jesus. We thank you, Father God. Fill our lives afresh, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Fill our lives afresh, Jesus. Lord, we call on you. We say increase our faith, Jesus. Increase our faith, Jesus. Increase our faith, Jesus. Increase our faith, Jesus. And Lord, where we have said at times, oh, you failed me, Lord, we repent of saying that. And we turn to you, we say, Lord, you won't fail. Lord, you are our firm foundation. We stand on you. There is no rock but you. There is no refuge but you. There is no power but you. There is no one but you to stand on. Lord, we pray you let faith be like an infection that comes through everyone. Catalyze us by your presence today. You are our firm, firm foundation. You are the one in which we trust. You are the rock in which we stand on. Lord, today, this first Sunday, we choose to build our house on the rock. And Lord, whether it's wind or waves, whether it's doubt or situations, Lord, we choose to build our house on the rock. It's you. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. I feel that there's some here today that it's not the heaviness of something, it's actually the dream God's put on your heart that's bigger than you. That you want to see something happen that you know is bigger than you. And I want you to raise your hand high if there's a dream of something that you know without God cannot happen. Lord, we pray you impart faith into each of these people today. Faith to see miracles, faith to see disciples made, faith to go to other nations and bring the gospel, faith to go to unreached people groups, faith to see relationships come into order, faith to see things changed in the presence and power of God that we cannot do without you. Jesus, we need an increase to our faith. Lord, release new and fresh dreams over each of these people. You are that firm foundation. You are the rock in which we stand. There is no God but you. There is no one but you. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Church, we're going to start worshiping. I just encourage you with all you have in you, begin to bring praise to him even now. As Jody and Adam lead us, begin to give praise to him. Call out for faith to rise in your heart. In Jesus' powerful and mighty name.
Thank you for listening to Hope Unveiled. If you're interested in learning more about what you heard today, or if you would like us to pray for something specific for you, we invite you to connect with us on our website, sunrise.ca.